Chapter 5, Developing a Strategy and a Business Model. In this chapter, we will learn about analyzing the environments, what is strategic management, what is the right strategy for a base of the pyramid market with 4 A's of marketing, how does one make your social enterprise unique, the different social enterprise business models, the different business models for for-profit social businesses, and finally, social entrepreneurship in India and the profitable sectors there. What we will understand at the end of this chapter is the importance of analyzing the environments. We will understand the right way of doing strategic management and the critical 4A marketing strategy for base of the pyramid markets. You students will learn how to make your enterprise a success, which I'm sure all of you want. And finally, we will understand the various business models. So let's see the first point, analyzing environments. So years back, in a business, you could experience a change and then return to a period of relative stability. For example, the telephone. Let us take the example of a telephone. The telephone was invented in the late 1800s. By the time cell phones came to the market, it took almost 100 years. That is, in 1973, when Motorola marketed the first cell phone. That era was followed by the one in which, as soon as you handled one change, you had to get ready for another. To continue with the same example of our telephones, while the first change from the telephone to a cell phone took almost 100 years, the next change came in only about 20 years, when cell phones started sending out messages in the form of SMSs along with handling regular calls. Nowadays, the changes are occurring with rapid fire, that is one on top of another. Let us continue with the same example of telephones. We have now smartphones which we use not only for SMSing, WhatsApping, taking pictures, but also doing our banking and a host of other things. And almost every other day, some new feature is added to the cell phone. And therefore, change has now become the name of the game. Secondly, companies are also increasingly facing turbulent, complex and threatening environments. In the past, they could succeed by focusing virtually all management efforts on running their day-to-day affairs as efficiently as possible. Although such focusing is still important, adapting the organization to changing environmental conditions has become mandatory. Continuous innovation and the ability to modify and adapt according to changing environment is the name of the game. Let us continue with the same example of telephones. Nokia was once the most famous cell phone company. But look where it is now, because it could not adapt to the changing environmental conditions. And companies like Apple, Samsung, etc. are far ahead of Nokia. We will now move on to strategic management. What is strategic management? It is the perspective that highlights the significance of devoting more attention to analyzing environments and formulating strategies that relate directly to environmental changes. Let us understand it in more detail. To begin with, the main purpose of strategic management is to increase the performance of the organization or improve the performance of the organization. And how does one increase or improve the performance of the organization? It is through increased effectiveness, efficiency, productivity, and flexibility. Therefore, strategic management is a set of managerial decisions and actions that determine the long-term performance of the organization. It involves three things. The first one is environment scanning, that is, doing your SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You need to determine the organization's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And then you need to analyze these opportunities and threats and constraints that exist also in the external environment. The environment also needs to be scanned in order to determine trends and projections of factors that will affect the future of the organization. For example, take the case of automobile industry. Today, most of the vehicles run on petrol, diesel, and or CNG. But the future, as we know, it will be electric vehicles. So the automobile companies need to take cognizance of this inevitable change and start now building their organization's capacities to manufacture electric vehicles. Further, what might be a threat to one company may actually be an opportunity for another company. We can take the same example of automobiles. Electric cars may be a threat to the existing automobile companies, but for the likes of Tesla, Google, and Apple, this is a huge opportunity, and they are using it not only to bring out electric cars, but futuristic smart cars, which will also be driverless. The next step then is strategy formulation. That is, to formulate strategies and goals that will match the strengths and weaknesses of the organization and its people with the opportunities, threats, and constraints existing in the surrounding environment. There are three levels of strategies. First is strategy at the corporate level. This level has a large time horizon of 10 to 15 years. The company should decide where it wants to be in the next 10 to 15 years in at least 8 core areas, that is, market standing, innovation, productivity, physical and financial resources, profitability, managerial performance, and workers' performance. Needless to say, being a social organization, its area of social responsibility should also be clearly strategized. Finally, at the corporate level, it should also decide how the resources would be allocated for its goals. So therefore, as we understand, corporate strategy will be done at the management level, at the senior leadership level, which will scan the horizon and decide where the corporate wants to be in the next 10 to 15 years. After that, we come to strategy at the business unit level. We have seen at corporate level, the business decides, it targets market share, focuses on innovation, etc. Therefore, at the business unit level, the organization should now decide how to compete in the business, how will it achieve and increase its market share, etc. And also think about innovation. Based on the pipeline of innovation, when will it launch the new products? And at this stage, the organization also decides on the product mix and also improvement in the product mix as and when necessary. Finally, we need to have strategy even at the functional level. That is, strategy during the phase of the current operations. At this level, one takes decisions such as commissioning of new plants. For example, this is needed for capacity building because as a business expands, it is important to increase capacities, come up with new production facilities, develop new products, increase advertising budgets, develop exports, etc. We now move on to the third step of strategic management, which is evaluation and control. It cannot be stressed that this is one of the most important steps of strategic management and perhaps totally missed out by the not-for-profits. Evaluation and control is critical to ensure the goals of the organization are accomplished, because there is no point in having a business plan, setting up goals, doing strategic management, if ultimately you are not going to evaluate and find out whether you are on track. So what is evaluation and control? It is nothing but measuring the performance in relation to your targets, analyzing the deviations if any, taking the corrective actions immediately, and executing modifications as necessary. Let us move on to the next topic in this chapter, which is the 4A marketing strategy for base of pyramid market. The 4A's of marketing mix are availability, affordability, acceptability, and awareness. Availability. BOP market or base of pyramid market is wide and hard to cover due to problems in transportation and lack of infrastructure. Therefore, when marketing to BOP, the organization should consider the most important aspect about the distribution channel for the goods and services to make sure the product is available in as many places as possible. Therefore, if you want your business to be a success, you have to make sure that your products reach your consumers. Ours being a social business, our target audience will be the base of pyramid market, and therefore, you need to ensure that any product that you are doing the business for reaches and is available for your BOP market. Affordability. Since the base of pyramid market consumer has a low disposable income, it is obvious that the product which one would like to market to them must be affordable to them. BOP consumers are extremely price sensitive. So any product that comes with not market-friendly price will fail in the BOP market. In the earlier chapters, we have seen a very good example of affordable products by Hindustan Lever for BOP marketing. The product, liquid soaps and shampoos in small convenient packs at a very affordable current price of rupees 5 per sachet is available for the BOP consumers. And that is what has led to the success of this product for Hindustan Lever. Acceptability. When marketing to the base of pyramid market, our aim is not just making the consumer to buy the products. It is also very important to make them accept the products and use it. Again, in the earlier chapters, we learnt about mosquito nets finding immediate acceptance amongst BOP consumers, as it was the most relevant product for their need. Next, BOP market is also heterogeneous. So, it is important for marketers to develop products that are customized to meet their taste, values, and cultures. Awareness. BOP consumers have a very low exposure level to the brand due to the nature of their geographic dispersion. High levels of illiteracy, media blackout zone are heavily prevalent at BOP and lead to obstacles in creating awareness about a product. Hence, the ideal media channels that are chosen are radio, TV, wall paintings and posters, and word of mouth marketing. But here one needs to be very careful about the advertising messaging. This is because each and every base of pyramid market is different with different backgrounds, values and cultures. For example, the advertising messaging which will probably work for consumers in North India may not be suitable, relevant or ideal for those in South India. Hence, it is important to develop suitable and different messaging communication for different markets. Further, to create awareness, it will be very good if one collaborates with NGOs and government institutions, as they have a wide reach and therefore are able to create awareness to a much larger base of the consumers. Also, the base of pyramid consumers like to touch and feel a product before making a choice. Hence, Demonstration campaign is undoubtedly the most effective awareness campaign. Further, youth power is becoming increasingly evident in the base of pyramid market because youth brings brand knowledge to the family, and hence marketers need to focus on this segment as it is a growing and influential segment. Human values ecosystem framework in marketing to the base of pyramid. The basic concept of 4A marketing mix can be improved by moving from product-centric marketing and customer-centric marketing to human ways of reaching out. Focus is required on physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual values that construct the holistic human approach. In addition, cooperation and growth, freedom and justice to the consumer are of paramount importance. At the individual level, happiness is the ideal and ultimate human goal. I'm sure most of you students who are listening to this can resonate with this. Our ultimate goal for almost any individual in the world is peace, contentment and happiness. And BOP consumers have that same ultimate human goal. And they also have the right to achieve happiness with quality products served to them. So just because they are BOP consumers, please do not make the mistake of giving cheap products to them and expecting them to buy it and making your social business a venture a success. The BOP consumers will reject it and your business is bound to fail. Let's move on to making your social enterprise unique. How will you make your enterprise unique? You will surely follow the best social enterprise practices and support an amazing cause. However, please make it sure that your product appeals to your market, otherwise your business won't gain the grip. A successful social enterprise combines appealing to the social cause of your target consumer and offering the products that resonate with their needs and wants. For example, health is a huge concern for all of us, and the escalating health costs is an even greater concern. So what do? We take out health insurance. This health insurance perhaps is not available, or the same quality health insurance is not available to the base of pyramid consumers. And therefore, if you come out with a unique model which will make health insurance in good hospitals at affordable rates available to the base of pyramid consumers, it is bound to succeed because the consumer base is so high and the need so high that these consumers will definitely reach out to you and buy your product of the health service. Let us now see examples of some good, unique social enterprises in India and across the world. Let us take the example of LG Electronics. As you know, LG Electronics manufactures and sells a variety of electronic products, including TVs, which are relatively expensive and definitely not affordable by consumers at the base of the pyramid. However, it came up with a unique product strictly for the base of pyramid consumers. And how did it do this? Not by just making a cheaper version of their TVs. They came out with a TV at a price of only ₹5,500. And they were able to reduce the selling price, one, by reducing the four speakers of the TV to two speakers. And secondly, by removing the black woofer. And thirdly, by reducing the screen size. So therefore, they are giving a good quality product to the consumers at the base of pyramid unit by coming out with a unique product which is suitable for them. Let us take the example of Nokia, which has launched a cell phone at a price point of around ₹4,000 for its 1100 series, and this product is targeted for the India BOP market. This is a very versatile product with quite a lot of features. So although there are other cell phones in this price range, no other handsets give as many features as Nokia gives, and therefore it's a runaway success for the India BOP market. Let's take one more example of General Electric Mach 400 portable ECG, which is a brilliant effort for the BOP market. General Electric invented a portable ECG machine that costs only $80. Now, a BOP patient can enjoy ECG testing at only $1 per test. This invention enables the group to have an opportunity to have fair distribution and reach out to the very prevalent and predominant BOP market. After this, what is very important is articulating the story of your mission. That is, apart from creating your unique social enterprise, it is important to articulate your mission effectively to your target group. This is what will set your social enterprise up for success. People feel more connected to social enterprises when they are invited to participate in the process of creating it. Simply asking them what social issues matter to them, involving them in the philanthropic process, all this will help them feel connected on a deeper level and change them from being customers to ambassadors of your product. And these ambassadors will ultimately lead to the success of your unique social enterprise. Therefore, storytelling should be at the heart of your social enterprise. Use the internet and try creating a landing page dedicated to your cause, your goal, and your tangible impact. Share photos, narratives, and in-depth looks at the goods you are, at the good that you are doing for the community and the consumers. Make it clear to your customers that you are following through on your company's philanthropic missions and the promise of creating a better world. A good example of this would be the Pratham Institute or the Pratham NGO of India. Pratham, as you know, is a leading NGO in the educational field. And they, if you just Google and go to the Pratham page or the Pratham Facebook page, look up what they are doing. Daily they are putting up stories, success stories of their students, of how their students are doing better and better in life or better in education or overcoming milestones on a daily basis. And therefore, Pratham stands out. Or anybody visiting that page will understand that Pratham is one of the leading institutions of education who is delivering on its mission and its promise. So students, while all along we have been talking about the steps or the points which you should take into consideration to make your unique social enterprise a success, it is also important to understand what it is that will lead to its failure or probably not make it a success. And one of the most important things is, if you are supporting a cause that does not resonate with your customers, trust me, you are already off on the wrong foot. Take time to understand the issues your target audiences care about and insert your company into that conversation. You cannot build a social enterprise based on only your beliefs or your issues which you think are important. You need to take time out to understand your target audience very, very carefully. And then align your social good efforts with your customers' values, and then they will definitely be more than willing to advocate for you and support your brand. What we are also seeing now is that traditional marketing, that is TV, radio, and print, is slowly disappearing. Consumers are tired of one-way broadcast, which has been the traditional way of marketing. Instead, people and consumers want interaction and the chance to develop a relationship with the brand. And therefore, we must go with what is relevant today for content marketing. Content created on SlideShares, YouTube, Flickr, corporate blogs is all easily shareable and interactive. And online content can definitely be more effective in the long term for the consumers of today. As we have studied so far, social enterprises apply business solutions to social problems. They do not rely solely on grants and donations for the sustainability of their business. And therefore, their goal is definitely to achieve financial stability. So, The business model of social enterprises is such that the profits from the business are completely reinvested in the work or the mission of the organization. A good business model, therefore, has two key elements or strategies. One, an operating strategy. This includes the internal organizational structure as well as the external partnerships, because both these are crucial for creating the organization's intended impact. And two, a resource strategy, which defines where and on what terms the organization will acquire the resources. These resources include both financial and human resources needed for the work of the organization to be done. For a social enterprise, therefore, the business model is the channel through which the social entrepreneur converts inputs into outcome. The business model is such that it leads to the ultimate goal of the generation of both social and economic value. The economic value generated is the revenue, while the social value generated is the measurable impact to the society and the beneficiaries. Let us now see the different ways in which a social enterprise can be integrated with a not-for-profit. A social enterprise can be integrated with a not-profit organization in one of the several ways. First, it can be embedded. That is, and this is possible when the enterprise and the social program are one and the same, and the business is central to the mission of the organization. Let us take an example. Let us assume, or let us take the example of a business, of a social enterprise doing the business of recycling floral waste from temples. So the business of the enterprise is recycling of floral waste. And recycling of floral waste is also a social program. Therefore, the mission of the program and the social program are one and the same, and in this case it can be embedded. Second, it can be integrated with the not-for-profit. And this is possible when the business activities of the organization overlap with the social programs, which is to say, the business model has been created as a funding mechanism in order to expand or enhance the mission of the organization. Let us continue with the same example of recycling of floral waste. If, as a business model, the enterprise comes up with the idea of selling products made out of the floral waste, for example, essential oils or agarbattis, then this becomes integrated with the not-for-profit, because the process of selling the products is a separate business model. And finally, the third method is external. This is used when the social and business activities are separate and may or may not be related to the mission of the organization. So now, having studied the last few chapters, let us see the different business models of social enterprises. There are various types of business models, and these are summarized over the next three slides. These models are designed in accordance with the social objectives, the mission, the marketplace dynamics, the client needs, and the legal environment within which the social enterprise operates. So we have a total of 9 kinds of business models. Let us go through each of it in detail. The first business model is entrepreneur support. This is typically used by microfinance organizations, technological companies which give technological support. And in this kind of business model, one sells the business support and not the product itself to the clients. And therefore, the key success factors here are appropriate training given to the entrepreneur. Second is a market intermediary. Here, you provide services to the clients to help them access the markets. For example, supply cooperatives like fair trade organizations, agriculture and handicraft exhibitions, etc. The key success factors for a market intermediary would be low startup costs, and main thing is allowing the clients to stay and work from within their own communities or their place of residence. The third one is employment. Here, you are providing employment opportunity and job training to clients and then selling their products and services in the open market. You have various, for example, you have various youth organizations which provide work opportunities to the disabled in landscape, cafes, printing, digital media, etc. I can give you an example of an organization called Akshay Akruti, which is based in Hyderabad. This organization works with the deaf and dumb children, and they give them training in the digital space. They give them training in computer training. And not only that, they also help them get jobs. So this would be a classic example of employment business model. The next business model is fee for service. Here, you're selling the social services directly to the clients. For example, membership organizations, museums, clinics, etc. Obviously, the key success factor here would be to establish an appropriate fee structure which is in accordance with the benefits which are being given. Next, we have the low-income client, which is kind of similar to the fee-for-service in terms of offering services to the clients, but focuses on providing these services to those who cannot afford it. For example, medical insurance for healthcare programs for the underprivileged, etc. Obviously, since you're catering to the underprivileged, your creative distribution systems, lower production costs, lower marketing costs, high operating efficiencies, all these would be critical for the success of this kind of a business model. Cooperatives. Here, the cooperatives provide members with the benefits through their collective services like bulk purchasing and collective bargaining. So the key success factor for a cooperative would be that the members of the cooperatives, who are the key stakeholders and investors, should have common interests and needs. Market linkage. This business model facilitates trade relationships between the clients and the external market. For example, import-export conventions, broker services, etc. You need to have the ability in connecting the clients to the markets, and this would be a key success factor for the market linkage business model. Service subsidization. Here, you sell the products or services to help fund other social programs. This model is integrated with non-profit organizations, and the business activities and social programs overlap. Finally, we come to the last one, which is organizational support, which is kind of similar to service subsidization, but applying the external model. This is something we learned about just over the previous 3-4 slides. And the business activities are separate from the social programs. In both these, service subsidization and organizational support, your examples would be consulting, counseling, employment training, etc. We now move on to the concluding part of the chapter, which is the most profitable social sectors in India. So, if you are planning to be a social entrepreneur in future, I'm sure this concluding part will be of great interest to you. The first popular sector in India is the field of education, because this sector has a track record of profit and has shown a marked degree of financial stability and growth potential. The education sector represents the highest number of profit-making enterprises. And it also has one of the lowest numbers of loss-making entities. There is tremendous growth potential in this sector. The second sector with a large growth potential is the sector of health. At 73%, the health sector has the largest segment of break-even businesses. However, a word of caution. Currently, the sector produces a very small number of profit-making entities. But what is interesting to note is that it has the lowest percentage, that is only 13% of loss-making enterprises. So if and when these enterprises begin to turn a profit, the health sector could well sustain a multitude of successful profit-making enterprises. The last sector is rural development. This is the sector to watch out for future growth, because rural development has the largest number of social enterprises in the field. However, it is also known to be the biggest loss-making sector at the moment. But rural development has demonstrated the largest revenue increases last year. So there could be more surprises in store. So rural sector is definitely one sector to watch out for your future growth for social entrepreneurs. With that, we come to an end of the chapter on developing strategy and business models.